Thanks, everyone, for coming out this Sunday afternoon. For those who download these talks from iTunes, this podcast, you're welcome to correspond with us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website at utahkrishnas.org. You're welcome to take that class. And for those who have taken the class and become members, we give you our appreciation. We couldn't do what we do without the inspiration and support that you supply. Everything is based on, inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you today about treating everyone with respect. Across our path in our life, the Lord has lined up gatekeepers, people who are ordained to open doors for us and to create new opportunities, people who are linked to the fulfillment of our divine destiny. Might be someone who introduces you to someone important or puts in a good word for you, might give you good life-changing advice. The people who come across our path don't do so by accident. They are orchestrated to come across and to intersect with us. The interesting thing is that our gatekeepers may not be the people that we would expect. We might expect our gatekeeper to be the boss, but it turns out to be the intern. It's only been in the office for a few days. We may expect a gatekeeper to be our friend with all the connections, who knows all the movers and shakers, but our gatekeeper, in fact, may be the lady at the grocery store. We may expect our gatekeeper to be the head coach, but we get a word of wisdom from the bat boy instead, or the ball boy. Many times our gatekeepers are disguised. It's important not to go through life being too busy. If you look at the lives of Lord Jesus Christ and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of their most defining moments came when they were interrupted. They were unscheduled interruptions. They were going from point A to B. They were scheduled to be at point B at a certain time, and they were accosted by someone unplannedly. And generally it was someone who was of a lower social status than they were. And how they responded to those interruptions are some of the most instructional moments in spiritual history. Don't think of people as being underneath you. You never know who God is going to use. Don't deny people the time of day. Treat everyone with respect and honor. There's a reason that everyone in your life who comes across your path is brought there. They may have an idea that will thrust you forward. They may introduce you to someone else that can open a door. Or it may be a test. Maybe they're not your gatekeeper, but you're being tested to see how you treat people that you don't think can do anything for you. If you pass the test and treat everyone with respect, then your gatekeepers will be released into the future of your destiny. And if you don't pass the test and you're always manipulative and calculating who's my friend, who's an enemy, who's neutral party, and categorizing people, maybe those gatekeepers will be withheld from your future and you'll not achieve everything that God had intended for you to achieve. The bottom line is, if you'll treat everyone like a gatekeeper to your destiny, one of them at least will be. 500 years ago, Raghunath Das Goswami had all the material qualifications. He was born in the richest family in all of Bengal. He was good-looking, aristocratic, and well-educated, and he wanted to meet God. So he tried his mightiest, using his influence, his wealth, to meet God who was present on the earth as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time. Lord Chaitanya is a devotional incarnation of Krishna. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he appeared again as Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago as a devotee to show us how we can approach God. But Raghunath Das Goswami, no matter how he tried and how he exerted himself based on his material influence, he kept missing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what he had failed to realize was that you cannot approach God directly. We should all know this. In the Nectar Devotion, Krishna says, who claims to be my devotee, who claims to have a one-on-one, intimate, exclusive relationship with me, is misleading you. Who is actually my devotee is a servant of my servant, of my servant, of my servant, of my servant, of my servant. My servant removed 100 times over. We cannot access God, but we can access those who are engaged in His devotional service. And by their intercession, it may be possible to get the association of the Lord. Imagine you're trying to meet the President of the United States by pounding on the White House door in Pennsylvania Avenue and demanding that the president present himself front and center for your satisfaction. That's not going to achieve the desired result. However, if you observe the protocol and approach the secretary of the secretary of the secretary of the secretary, then there's a reasonable chance that you'll get to meet the president of the United States. So Nityananda Prabhu, the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya and the original spiritual master, he was the gatekeeper for Raghunath Das Dasrami to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could not access that incarnation of God directly. The means of access is to go through the gatekeeper. And when he asked Lord Nityananda, then he achieved success in his endeavor. You see here, Lord Nityananda has put his foot on the head of the prostrate Raghunath Das Goswami, indicating that it's not by aristocracy, it's not by birth, it's not by good looks, it's not by wealth that we impress and achieve the association of God, but it is rather by serving those who are serving the Lord in a humble mood of devotion. This is a quintessential point in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 34th verse. Lord Krishna says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. I met my own gatekeeper in an unexpected place. I had been to India in 1969 looking for a guru, looking for saintly people, was largely unsuccessful. Came through India and spent a month in Thailand, and then I spent a month in Bali and Indonesia. I came to Australia, and only reason I came to Australia was just to earn money. Very cynically, I didn't think that Australia had anything culturally enriching to offer me, and so I just went there with the idea that if I would work for 6 months, the money I would earn in 6 months of work in Australia would support me in some really interesting places for, say, up to 2 years. Places like Bali, places like Mauritius. So as I was being spewed out of the subway downtown Sydney onto George Street at Wynyard Station one winter evening, a flash of color caught my eye, and I turned and I saw this American dressed in a dhoti kurta with tila. And I was immediately impressed that here was a practitioner of Indian spirituality, and I was interested in that. And so I thought, here's someone I could learn from. I didn't initially recognize him as a gatekeeper, but I was attracted. And it so happened, he had arrived with one other devotee a month previous, sent by Srila Prabhupada to open the Hare Krishna movement in Australia. And the first temple they'd rented was within a short walking distance of where I and my wife were staying. So we went to the temple two or three times a week. After 6 months went by, we'd earned the sum of money we'd originally intended. We said goodbye, and we stuck out our fingers with the intention of hitchhiking across Australia to Perth, from which we'd get a boat to Mauritius. We got about 2 days out, somewhere in Western Australia. We're in a mining town. We'd gone into a restaurant to have lunch. We'd become vegetarians by then. And we asked the waitress, do you have any vegetarian options? 5 or 6 minutes later, after she started to stop laughing, I don't think there had ever been a vegetarian in that mining town in Western Australia. I don't think a vegetarian had ever passed through. The best that she could offer was the lamb with the mint jelly and mashed potatoes and peas. And we asked her, can you just give us the mashed potatoes and peas and mint jelly and leave off the lamb? She said, no, you have to do that. My wife and I had a moment. We looked across the table at each other, and we had the same thought at the same time. Let's just go back and get more association with our gatekeeper, Upendra. He'd woven a web that had made Krishna consciousness irresistibly attractive. And he was a good emissary. He was a beautiful kirtan singer. He was a very eloquent and articulate speaker. And he was a gourmet cook. So we went back, and Upendra regaled us with stories of Prabhupada, of whom he'd been the personal servant 1 year before leaving to go to Australia. And so he was a gatekeeper that introduced us to our eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's easy to go through life dismissing people, not giving them time of day, thinking of them as under us and not important, not worthy of our time. But you never know who God's going to use. He might use the person who's parking your car. He might use the receptionist who's answering the phone. If we go through life categorizing and judging people by external appearances, we might miss the gatekeeper who's going to introduce us to the fullness of our destiny. If we think I'm in management, they're in maintenance, I'm staying at the hotel, they're just working at the hotel, the very ones we dismiss because they're not educated, because they're not rich, they could be the whole length to our wonderful, amazing future that God has planned for us. Don't judge by the outside. If we keep open and respectful to people, we'll be amazed by who God will use to thrust us to a higher level. These are two slides. The upper slide is Judd Barat. He was a greatly spiritual, realized soul, but he covered himself with... he didn't talk to people. He wandered like an apparent madman through the streets. And some followers of Kali, the ghastly, multi-armed deity, noticed him, and they thought that he would make a good human sacrifice to their goddess. They saw him as overweight and mute and retarded and of having no better purpose in life than to be an instrument of their ghastly mode of ignorance worship. However, as they had him trussed and bound on the altar and they were about to cut his throat as an offering to the deity of Kali, that marble or brass deity or whatever it was became animated, and instead of Barat being killed and sacrificed, the deity came down off of her altar, and with her many arms and weapons, she killed all the miscreants. She killed her own devotees, thus saving Jarad Barat for a higher destiny. He was destined to be the gatekeeper of the king of Greater India. His name was Rahugana. On a later occasion, Judd Barat was walking along the road, looking oafish, mute, retarded, overweight, and dumpy. And just at that moment, the king passed on his palanquin, borne by four strong men. One of the men got sick, and he was unable to continue carrying the palanquin. The king said, "Bring this man over and let him carry the palanquin." So Judd Barat was impressed into the service of the king as a palanquin bearer. But as soon as they got underway, the king was getting a bumpy ride. It was very, very bumpy, like they had no shocks or anything. And they looked out and they determined that Judd Barat was tiptoeing around ants. He didn't want to step on any ants. And that was creating great discomfiture for the king. The king became absolutely enraged. He said, "I will cut off your arms, I will beat you within an inch of your life, I'll hang you from the nearest tree. How dare you cause inconvenience? Don't you know who I am? I'm the king and you're just a beggar. You're just a homeless, useless dead-ender. Do you want to say anything on your behalf before I administer the punishment?" And then from Judd Barat's mouth, to the amazement of everyone there, he spoke great, deep, meaningful, transcendental knowledge. He chastised the king. I'm not sure how many people had ever chastised the king. It was certainly something he was unused to. His mouth fell open, and Judd Barat said, "If you think you're a king, and if you think I'm a retard, and if you think that you're high-born, and you think I'm low-born, and you think you're educated, and you think I'm uneducated, if you think you're tall or short or fat or thin or man or woman or Christian or Muslim or Jew, then you're an illusion. You have no real knowledge. Because this body is not the self. All those adjectives that I just ticked through refer not to the self, but they refer to the body, which is a covering of the self. The self itself is eternal, unchangeable. It's a spark emanating from God, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity." As Barat began to speak eloquently the most profound spiritual knowledge, Rahugana got more and more and more and more respect for Jarad Barat. Eventually, he lay down on his... he prostrated and laid himself out at the feet of Judd Barat and asked that Judd Barat would initiate him as his spiritual master. Our gatekeeper are not always those who are immediately and overwhelmingly recognizable at first sight. Anybody could be a gatekeeper. Anybody could give a word of advice. Anybody could give insight. You never know who God will anoint for that purpose. I read about a semi-trailer, an 18-wheeler, that had stacked pipes too high above the allowed height, got stuck underneath a bridge. And then you had engineers, you had highway patrolmen, policemen, local politicians. They were all gathered in the dozens. Traffic was being redirected. The area was cordoned off. And they were figuring out, they were trying to calculate how they could jack up the bridge to make room for the semi-trailer to pass through. Well, one car passing by, a little 10-year-old was riding with his father. He rolled down the window and he shouted out to all the experts, said, "Why don't you let the air out of the tires? If you do that, that will lower the semi-trailer and it can just drive through." And they were amazed, you know, from the mouth of babes. Sometimes it says the weak will confound the wise. So don't be puffed up. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't dismiss people who you think are not as educated, not as old or wise or as intelligent as you are. I heard about the number one rental company of DVDs. They had branches all over the world. They had an income in the hundreds of millions of dollars. They were sitting pretty. And they were approached one day by some young people just fresh out of college that had an idea. They wanted to partner with the DVD rental giant. And their idea was that they had figured out software by which people could download videos from the internet. They would not have to go to the store, waste gas and energy to pick up the video, then waste gas and energy to turn it back after they'd viewed it. They just give their credit card and download it. And it was the proposal of these young Turks to partner with the King Video Rental. And the King Video Rental Company was puffed up and arrogant. They barely gave them a hearing. They did not give it seriously consideration, and they just sent them packing. Now, those young people, they formed their own company, which, as you've probably figured out by now, is called Netflix. And eventually they drove Blockbuster, for all practical purpose, out of business. So sometimes we need to listen to the smaller person. Sometimes we need to listen to the younger person, or the person that's not as high-born, or the person that's not as educated as we are. We need to know that anybody could be our link into coming into much. Park attendant, teacher, clerk. And the reason that God sends the little people, so to speak, the people that we would least expect or anticipate, is He's teaching us that promotion, favors, blessing do not come from people. They come from Krishna. They come from God. A lot of times the influential people that we are playing up to, they're not our gatekeepers. They're not destined to have anything to do with our future. Gatekeepers are not who we'd expect. Promotion doesn't come from people, it comes from God. And respecting people is not always about what they can do for us. It should be what we can do for them. Instead of being concerned about what I could get, we should be more concerned about what I can give. How can I make a deposit in this life? According to the law of karma, what you give, you get. So if you're a gatekeeper, if you're a mentor, if you take time out to listen to other people, then your gatekeepers will be released. Your gatekeepers will come into your future and thrust you to a higher level. Whatever you give, that you shall receive. This is the fundamental universal law. I heard about this fifth grade teacher named Miss Thompson. Her worst student was a young boy named Teddy Stoller. During his year with her in the fifth grade, Teddy's mother died, and he became even more sad. And he was dragging even more and more and more because of the death of his mother, whom he loved very much. He was already behind a student, but then he dropped just impossibly behind. He was the butt of jokes. Students made fun of at his expense. And even the teacher, Ms. Thompson, was not particularly fond of Teddy. One day her birthday came, and on her desk, amongst all the expensive, well-wrapped presents, was a wrinkled, old, brown paper bag. She pulled out of this a rhinestone bracelet, which was not particularly expensive to begin with, but it had stones missing. And everyone guessed that this had come from Teddy. And already the kids were starting to giggle and elbow each other's in the ribs. And out of a sense of maternal instinct, Miss Thompson didn't want Teddy to be further embarrassed. So she took the bracelet. She made a show of putting it on her wrist and looking at it from different directions, putting a little bit of perfume under her ear and thanking Teddy for the gift without showing any sort of condescension on her part. At the end of the day, students left, and Teddy remained, and he came up to Miss Thompson. He said, "Miss Thompson, you sure look beautiful with my mother's bracelet on your wrist. I'm sure that she would be delighted if she was here, that you have it in your possession now." And then Teddy left. So moved was Miss Thompson by this statement of Teddy's, that she got down on her knees all by herself in the classroom and she prayed to God to be a better person, to be a better teacher, to pay attention and to respect even the least. It is said by God that if you respect the small, then He will put you in charge of the great. But having respect for the small is the qualification for being entrusted with the great. So she became a better teacher, and year after year after year, she, for many years, won the Best Teacher of the Year awards. Meanwhile, Teddy he finally applied himself to his studies under the tutelage of Miss Thompson. He caught up to the other students and he graduated from grade school. A few years went by and Miss Thompson got a letter from Teddy Stoddard, who was now in high school, and he said, "I'm second in my class, the work is hard, but I like it, love Teddy." A few years later, she got another letter from Teddy. He said, "I'm in college, and I'm first in my class. Love, Teddy." A few years later, she got another letter, and he said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I'm so excited. I've been accepted into medical school with a scholarship. Love, Teddy." A few years later, she got a letter from Teddy Stoward, M.D., and the letter said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I'm getting married in a couple of weeks, and I would like you to come and be a guest at my wedding and sit in the spot where my mother would have sat." Teddy Stoddard was a gatekeeper for Miss Thompson, and Miss Thompson was a gatekeeper for Teddy Stoddard. We are all, in the ultimate issue, each other's gatekeepers. We are each and every one of us responsible for each and every other one of us. I read about a church that was, on one level, the most successful church in town. They had more than 500 members, but they had a problem. And the problem was, as many people came, that many people would leave in due course of time. However many people went out the front door, that many people would go out the back door. And the minister was trying to think about how he could staunch the exodus or stop the exodus of people from the church. What he did was he took the 12 most recently converted families. He invited them to dinner at his house. And after dinner, when they were sitting around in the lounge room, he made this little speech to them, which I'll repeat to you. He told them, he said, "Statistically speaking, in the next 2 to 3 years, two of your marriages will have broken up and the shame will cause you to leave the church. Three of you will have a conflict with someone in the church and you will also leave the church. One will have a tragedy and lose faith and leave. Two will have a moral failing and leave out of shame. Two will lose interest and drift away. Statistically speaking, in 2 to 3 years out of this group, only two of you will be attending church and only one of you at this church." There was dead silence in the room. All these wide-eyed Christians were about to say, "Surely, Lord, not I." When one of them spoke up and said, "What can we do to change the statistics?" The pastor said, "You can get together as a group and decide that you're not going to let each other go." That's exactly what they did. These strangers formed a small group. They met once a week and they supported each other through the tragedies, through the divorces, through the sicknesses, through the conflicts, through the failings. And in 4 years, only one had left the church, never to come back. The church went from losing 10 out of every 12 new families to losing only one. How we treat someone we don't think can help us is a test of our spiritual maturity. It's very nice to be nice to the boss, the cheerleader, the athlete. It's easy. But if we want to meet our true gatekeepers, we need to learn to be good to everyone. Here's my own personal gatekeeping story. When I came to Los Angeles around 1980, I had my own service, but I couldn't help but being disappointed that the Indian community who came to our Sunday services did not seem to be greeted. No one had taken it upon himself to welcome them, to orient them, to introduce themselves, to give them any prasadam. They came, they found a seat, they listened to the lectures, they participated in the kirtan, they took some prasadam, and they went without anyone really knowing their name, just as a face in the crowd. And I felt bad about that. So I made it my duty to stand every Sunday. Here's a picture of the LA Temple and the steps in front of it. I stood there every Sunday as a greeter, And I welcomed people. I explained. I answered questions to them. I told them where the prasadam was available. And after doing this a few weeks, the life membership director, and life membership is basically a position that means you're in charge of the congregational development of the Indian community, of which there are tens of thousands of family in L.A. His name was Navayovan, and he called me up, and he said, "Charu, I'm resigning as life membership director." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Navayovana, but what has it got to do with me?" He said, "It's got everything to do with you because you are the new life membership director." I said, "No way. I've already got my service. I'm doing 40 to 50 hours a week. I need to be life membership director like I need a hole in the head." And he said, "Whether you like it or not, or whether you acknowledge it or not, you are the de facto life membership director. And I am not." And I said, "How did you arrive at this conclusion?" He said, "Every person who comes to the life membership office, every time the phone rings, they ask for Charu by name. They're not interested in talking to me. They're not interested in liaisoning with me. They all know you. They want you. So whether you acknowledge it or not, you are, in fact, the life membership director." So then I put on another hat, and I became the life membership director, and I acted as the life membership director for 10 years throughout the 80s in Los Angeles. Now, in 96, we wanted to raise $1.5 million to build this temple in Spanish Fork. And the Indian community of five or six families in Salt Lake City was incredibly generous, headed up by Dr. Dinesh Patel. But it's interesting because for every dollar I raised to build the temple in Salt Lake City, I got at least another dollar, if not more, from my old friends in Los Angeles. So as I was a gatekeeper for them, they also continue to open doors to me. And not only now have we got 10 years in this wonderful world-class building in Spanish Fork with their help, but we've recently acquired another facility in Salt Lake City. If we categorize people, we're going to miss the great destiny that God has in store for us. Often we miss a gatekeeper because we divide people into friends, enemies, and neutral parties. But Krishna's ways and ends are different. We should not only be nice to people because we're spiritually related, spiritual kin, but we should be nice to people because the ones that are crossing our path are sent across us for a reason. They're divinely linked to our destiny. Here's a story of Bhima and Hanuman as narrated in the Mahabharata. Bhima was on his way to get a flower for his wife Draupadi from the Gandamandana mountain. Now the problem with going onto the Gandamandana mountain was it was an inhabitation of demigods, and no mortal had ever succeeded in getting onto the mountain. Every mortal that had ever tried to get onto the mountain was killed by the far more powerful demigods. But Bhima had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was the strongest of the Pandavas, and so he felt that he was up to the task. And he was approaching the mountain by smashing trees to one side and roaring like an elephant. And he came to a place in the path where onto the side there was an old monkey lying down, and the monkey's tail was stretched across the road. So in our culture, we don't step across any part of the body because the super soul, because the body's a temple and God inhabits it. And so Bhima was disinclined to step across the tail and continue on his way. So he asked the monkey. He didn't ask the monkey. He saw the monkey as an annoyance. He didn't see that this old monkey would have any role to play in his fulfillment of his mission. And so peremptorily, he said, "Monkey, get your tail out of the way. I've got important things to do. I can't delay my mission because of your tail in the road." And the monkey said, "Oh, I'm old, I'm tired, I didn't feel well this morning. I don't even think I have the strength to move my tail." He said, "Why don't you look like a big strong guy, why don't you just flick my tail off the path?" So brusquely, Bhima leaned down, he grabbed the tail, and his idea was to just flick it and maybe flick the monkey too. But he was unable to lift the tail. The tail had tremendous weight to it. And so he began to pay more attention. He planted both feet on the ground. He bent his knees. He used his other hand. And he exerted himself mightily. He couldn't budge the tail an inch off the ground. He said, what is this? Maybe there's more here than meets the eye. Maybe this isn't just an old monkey, but maybe this is one of my gatekeepers, someone who's going to open a door to me, for me in disguise. And as he looked and as he pondered these questions, the monkey rose and transformed himself into none other than the great Hanuman, the unlimitedly powerful monkey servitor of Lord Ramachandra, who had just disguised himself as an old monkey in order to test and have some fun with Bhima, who was actually his half-brother. They were both born of the same father, Vayu, the wind god. Ended up, Hanuman blessed Bhima. He said, no mortal has ever ascended this mountain and lived, but I am the gatekeeper of the mountain, and I give you permission. As you go and fulfill your mission, I promise you that none of the demigods will be able to kill you. Moreover, Hanuman said, I know that in the future, you and your four brothers will be fighting Duryodhana in the Kurukshetra War. It'll be a world war to determine whether the world is saved from the forces of darkness. I will assist you by ascending and taking my place on the flag above your brother Arjuna's chariot. And when the battle gets critical, I will roar so loudly it will go all but break the eardrums of the enemy. They will become distracted, they will become emasculated, and whenever there's a tight situation, you will prevail and you will ultimately win the battle. So although he had disguised himself as an old monkey, this was in fact a gatekeeper for Bhima and for all of his Pandava brothers. Pay attention to the people that are sent in your life. It's not accidental, it's not random. Your destiny is not just between you and God. We can't even have a one-on-one relationship with God. But our relationship with God is tied up inextricably with the people that cross our path. When you realize that every person could be a gatekeeper, a link, then it's easy to treat everyone with respect and honor. When you make people feel loved and respected and appreciated, then you're going to meet your gatekeepers who will love and respect and appreciate you. When you take time to help out others, what you're doing in effect is helping yourself. When you're good to people, you're sowing seeds. And every seed that you grow will become a harvest. Every good deed that you do, every time you go out of your way to make someone feel special, Krishna sees it and will make sure the right people come across your path. Remember, gatekeepers may not look like you'd anticipate. Treat everyone with respect, not just the people you think are important. When you're faithful with the small, Krishna will make you ruler over much. In the coming days, people are going to come across your path who hold the key to favor and increase. Don't overlook them. Go out this week and be good to the people in your life. If you'll learn to treat everyone like a gatekeeper to your destiny, Krishna will open the right doors. You will come into favor, promotion, increase, and I believe you will become everything that Krishna has created you to be. And if you're inclined to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.